Now, a good example in my own life is a few years ago, my wife Barbara and I, we decided to come out here to California and visit some of our relatives who were living here in Torrance at that time. But we didn't do anything to carry out that decision. So sure enough, we didn't get to California either. The next year, we made the same decision to come out here and visit our relatives, and again, we didn't do anything to carry it out. Second year in a row, we didn't get to California. Third year in a row, we made the decision. Only this time, it was a little different. I took the car down and had it serviced. Barbara packed the clothes and a little food, and we got in our automobile, and we drove from our home to Tulsa, Oklahoma. Then we drove to Oklahoma City. Then we drove to Amarillo, Texas. Then we drove to somewhere in New Mexico, Albuquerque, I guess.
Student carry.
And then after that, we drove to Flagstaff, Arizona. And then we drove to Barstow, California. And by golly, one day we ended up in Torrance visiting with our relatives. Not because we made a decision, but because we took the action necessary to carry it out. And our book's going to tell us in just a little while that this decision is going to have little permanent effect unless it once followed by a strenuous course of action, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and 11. So all we're doing in step 3 is making a decision. Now, what is it we're deciding to do? We're making a decision to turn our will over to the care and direction of God as we understand Him. What is our will? Our will is nothing more than our thinking apparatus. Our will is nothing more than this thing up here in our head that tells us what to do and what not to do. Our will is nothing more than our mind. Let me give you a good example of tying your will with your thinking apparatus. Let's say that some of us are beginning to approach the end of our lives, which some of us in this room are, and we've gathered up a few material things. We've become concerned with what's going to happen to them when we pass on. We may go down and sit down in an attorney's office and tell that attorney what we want done with these things. I want this to be my spouse's. This is to go with my daughter. This is to be my son, so on, so on, so forth. That attorney will take my thinking as of that day coming from my mind and put it down on a piece of paper in legal terms. I'll sign it. The attorney might sign it as a witness, and we'll put it in a safe. Now, 3 or 4 years from now, sure enough, I kick the bucket. And if my family's like all the rest of them, they're not going to wait very long. They're going to call the undertaker and say, come and get him. And get him ready, and let's get him in the ground about as fast as we can. Now, a day or two later, hell, used to it was 4 or 5 days. Now, then, it's just a day or two later. We're all out there at the cemetery. And they got me in a box, suspended over a hole in the ground. A few people standing around that box. And hopefully somebody in AA will say a prayer or two. They start dropping me down in the hole. And my family, like all the others, will not even wait till I get to the bottom of the hole. Just as soon as I start in that hole, they jump in the car, they go to that attorney's office. And that attorney reads to them my thinking as of that date, 3, 4, 5 years prior to that time. Now, what do they call that piece of paper? They call it a will, don't they? That's why they do. Will, thinking, mind, they're all synonymous. They mean the same thing. So I'm making a decision to turn my thinking apparatus over to the care and direction of God as I understood Him. What else am I going to try to turn over? Well, I'm making a decision to turn not only my will, but also my life over to the care and direction of God as I understand Him. And what is my life?
My actions.
My life is nothing more than my actions. What I am right now, as of this moment, sitting behind this table, is the sum, accumulative total, of all the actions I've taken throughout my entire lifetime has made me what I am today. Now, all action is born in thought.
Say that again, please.
All action is born in thought. Sometimes we react to a situation so fast that we think we do it automatically, but we don't. I can't even reach out and pick up this coffee cup unless my mind tells my body to do so. So if all action is born in thought, then it stands to reason that my life is going to be determined by how I think. If my thinking is okay, chances are my actions are okay, and chances are my life's going to be okay. But if my thinking is lousy, then chances are my actions are going to be lousy, and chances are my life's going to be lousy too. I shall never forget when I got to step 3. I went to my sponsor. I said, Neil, I don't believe I can take step 3. And he said, why? And I said, because if I turn my will and my life over to the care of God as I understand him, I have no idea where you have me be. And he may want me to be a missionary. And he may want to send me to China, and I sure as hell don't want to go to China. And he just laughed. And he said, well, at least it wouldn't be in the hands of an idiot, would it? He said, let's look back in your lifetime, Charlie. You've always been a selfish, self-centered, self-willed human being. You've always done what you want to do whenever you want to do it. Is that right? And I said, well, you know it is. Well, he said, the end result is you damn near destroyed your life. He said, just think. If God could direct your thinking, it might become better. And he said, if your thinking becomes better, chances are your decisions and your actions would become better. And chances are your life would become better too. He said, there's no way that God could make it any worse than you have yourself. He stepped back about 2 feet and stuck his old bony finger right in the middle of my chest. And he said, now you got to make the decision. He said, I wish I could make it for you, but I can't. This is one you have to do yourself. And that's what every one of us are faced with, you know. Are we going to keep on trying to run the show ourselves? Are we going to keep on making our own decisions? Are we going to keep on taking the same old actions? Are we going to keep on till we destroy ourselves? You know, nobody can make life any worse than we alcoholics have made it for ourselves by following on self-will. So we got to make this decision now as to which way we want to go. The book says we don't have any other choices. We can stay powerless. We can accept spiritual help. And now we've got to decide between those two. Thank God I made the decision to turn my will and my life over to the care of God as I understood him. You know?
See, he told us how it works. Just now we read how it works. Now he's going to tell us why it doesn't work. And the book says that the first requirement is that we be convinced that any life run on self-will can hardly be a success. That's the reason it don't work. On that basis, we're almost always in collision with something or somebody, even though our motives are good. Most people try to live by self-propulsion. Each person is like an actor who wants to run the whole show. He's forever trying to arrange the lights, the ballet, the scenery, and the rest of the players in his own way. If his arrangement would only stay put, if only people would he'd do as he wished, the show would be great. Everybody, including himself, would be pleased. Life would be wonderful. Wouldn't it be wonderful if they would only mind? The only problem is they don't mind. My wife does not mind. My will for my wife is one thing, and her will for her is another. And a lot of times they're in collision with each other. So the first requirement is that we be convinced that any life run on self-will could hardly be a success. Some 12 or 13 years after Bill wrote the big book and after a consultation with some of the best minds in the world and after experience of working with many, many, many alcoholics, Bill began to see some of the things that would make people tick. And he wrote the 12 and 12 about 12 or 13 years later. Primarily, he was out pushing the tradition, but he put some information, about the steps in the front of the book. They're just short essays, short stories about the steps. More information about the steps to help, to better help us to work the steps out of the big book. And in the area of the fourth step, in the 12 and 12, there's some information in the first two or three pages of the 12 and 12 is some of the best information I've ever seen that tells you what makes people tick. And I need to get a working knowledge of that information I know today, because later on this afternoon we're going to talk about that third column on page 65 that gives so many of us so much trouble. I get to that third column and I didn't have an understanding of what part of self was affected, so I just skipped over that, you see.